Hey everyone, this is Jennifer, your host of the Where Are They podcast. Anyhow, just wanted to break in real quick here for 1 second and let everyone know that we will be at CrimeCon next month. Look for us in Las Vegas if you will be attending this year's CrimeCon. If you have not yet booked your ticket and are interested, you can use our discount code for 10% off. The code is WAT10. And if you are at CrimeCon, if you do find yourself walking the hallway of Creators Row, please come look for me, come look for the Where Are They podcast, and say hello. I'm super excited to not only be a part of all the festivities at CrimeCon, but to meet, hopefully, some of you while there. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. This episode is going to be a little bit different from our traditional format, as I want to discuss a few major case updates in cases that I've covered a while back. Cases of missing persons who have been missing for years. People who are no longer missing as of 2026. Now, this is quite unusual. Of course, in 6 years of covering missing person cases, I have seen big developments, and in a few cases, the missing people were recovered. But just a few in 6 years isn't a lot. So far, in April and May of 2026, we've seen 4 missing persons found. Sadly, all were found deceased, but they have been found and they can be brought home where they belong. We are still waiting answers in all of these cases I am about to talk about. We don't have all the details. We don't know everything just yet. But we do have an answer to the biggest question that we've been asking all along. Where are they? We now know where they were. We might have to wait a little bit longer for the whys, the whos, and even the how. But knowing the where is a big leap forward and hopefully the catalyst to bringing forth more answer in these stories. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast. This episode will be quite different, as I mentioned. It will be laid out a little bit more casually, a little different than our typical episodes are. But I do want to bring you some additional information on some cases that we had previously covered. As I mentioned earlier, I do see updates in cases from time to time. Some big ones, such as the discovery of Deanne Warner, a mother from Michigan who was missing for a couple of years, and the subsequent trial and conviction of her husband, Dale. We've also seen the discovery of missing college student Jay Lee in Mississippi, and the conviction of Timothy Harrington, a one-time friend of Jay's. A few years ago, we watched as YouTuber Exploring with Nug found Aaron Foster and Jeremy Bechtel in their car at the bottom of the Calf Killer River, just months after we covered their story on our podcast. They had been missing for over 20 years. And I'm closely watching a few other cases, cases in which the missing person is still missing, although authorities seem to have some of the answers. The case of Michael Vaughn, a heartbreaking case out of Idaho. This 5-year-old boy has never been found, but the arrests have been made, finally, and sadly, it is believed that the young boy is deceased. The trial will begin in Idaho in just a few weeks. Hopefully that will bring us some additional answers, although Michael Vaughn is still missing. Another absolutely heartbreaking story is that of little Angel Overstreet, who vanished at just 3 months old. Her case remained a mystery until last year when her father was arrested and charged with her murder. He will also be standing trial in Huntington, West Virginia in the coming months. Ella Mae Begay, a woman from Arizona, went missing under suspicious circumstances and also remains missing, despite a strong person of interest in her case and a lot of people thinking that they have the answers. And while we might have some answers there, we still don't have Ella Mae. All are cases that I am really hoping will be solved this coming year, or at least we can be provided with a lot more answers. And I do hope the investigations and court trials can lead to these missing people. Now let's get into why we are here today and the cases that we want to talk about now. In seemingly rapid succession, at least it seems so to me, in the last few weeks, we've had big discoveries made in big cases. It's actually mind-blowing to me and quite overwhelming, to be honest. None of these endings are what we had hoped for, but at least loved ones can have some sense of closure, maybe, and perhaps more answers. Molly Miller and Colt Haynes. I originally covered Molly and Colt's story only on Patreon in 2024. Now, my reasoning for that at the time was, even though their case had come recommended to me by a few people, I wanted to give the weekly show to those cases who weren't seeing any media coverage. And at that time, Molly and Colt were getting a fair amount of media attention. So their story went out on Patreon in 2024 and then was released on the main show in the beginning of January 2025. At that time, their case had gone kind of quiet. In fact, it went silent. So imagine my shock when I saw the news reports that human remains were found during a land search by investigators. First, let's recap their story briefly. In July of 2013, a 17-year-old Molly Miller and 21-year-old Colt Haynes disappeared in rural Oklahoma after a late-night police chase through Love County. The two were passengers in a car that was being driven by a friend of theirs, a man by the name of James Conn Knipp. Officers attempted to stop the vehicle, which led to a high-speed pursuit down back roads before police eventually said they lost sight of the vehicle somewhere near Long Hollow Road. After that, the vehicle crashed into a wooded area. Now, James Conn Knipp later made it home, but Molly and Colt never did. In fact, they vanished. Throughout the night and into the next morning, both reportedly made desperate phone calls to friends asking for help. Strange phone calls stating that they needed help, they needed water, and they needed a ride. Something was wrong. Colt said that he was lost in the woods and then he was injured. However, despite all of these phone calls, they were never located. Now, as time went on, there was a lot of controversy surrounding their case. Controversy with the local sheriff and his connection to James Conn Knipp, the man who was last seen with Colt and Molly, and controversy regarding the department as a whole. People accused the Love County Sheriff Department of mishandling the investigation from the very beginning, and possibly even going as far as protecting some of the people that were connected to this case. One of the biggest issues centered on the police chase itself. Deputies had pursued the vehicle, which had Molly, Colt, and James in it. They had pursued them at high speeds through dangerous back roads very late at night. And being such a rural area, it was probably extremely dark with no streetlights. After the car crashed, officers claimed they went out and searched that area, but they could not find Molly or Colt anywhere. However, many have questioned this, wondering how these two, Colt and Molly, could have been out in the woods, injured, disoriented, enough to be making phone calls to friends, desperately asking for help, yet at the same time, authorities were in that very area and could not find them. So suspicion intensified because James Conn Knipp's father, Bill Knipp, was reportedly a longtime friend and a former deputy connected to the Love County Sheriff at the time, Joe Russell Taylor. Many people believed that James received preferential treatment because of this. And although James admitted to being with Colt and Molly that night, and initially faced charges related to the police chase, he was later released and the case actually stalled for years. Families accused authorities of failing to aggressively investigate him or fully account for what happened that night after the car crash. That controversy grew even further after Sheriff Taylor himself was later convicted in an unrelated corruption case, which involved illegal moonshine operations, bribery, and misuse of office. His conviction damaged all the public trust in him, and it fueled longstanding concerns that corruption within the sheriff's office may have affected the handling of Molly and Colt's disappearance. Now let's fast forward to 2026 this year. In February, the Chickasaw Lighthouse Police Department and the BIA, or the Bureau of Indian Affairs Missing and Murdered Unit, searched over 1,000 acres for evidence regarding Colt and or Molly. Now, this area had not previously been searched before, but for some reason, it had recently been identified as a target area after what authorities say was new information and access to that land was obtained. This land is described as being densely wooded and being located off of Pike Road just south of Oswalt, Oklahoma. And in fact, during that search, their bodies were discovered on February 18th, 2026. They had been missing for 13 years. The medical examiner identified the remains officially on March 31st, and of course, authorities started with notifying the family. Police said the investigation into the circumstances surrounding Molly and Colt's deaths remain active and ongoing. The Bureau of Indian Affairs Missing and Murdered Unit said that it will continue to pursue every lead in this case. Molly Miller was considered an Indigenous woman. As of May 5th, 2026, just about a week or so from the recording of this, their autopsy reports were updated to reflect that both causes of death were unknown. They only had partial remains to work with, and they have likely been in the elements out there since 2013, so there isn't much to go on. Sadly, in another heartbreaking and actually very strange update, the medical examiner stated that while there were no signs of trauma found on the bones themselves, there was evidence that the remains were exposed to fire at some point. The families of both Colt and Molly wholeheartedly believe foul play was involved, and they will continue to push for an investigation, which authorities have now stated is moving forward. Law enforcement is still actively working this case and asks anyone with any information to please speak up. Anyone with information about the deaths and or the disappearance of Molly Miller and or Colt Haynes is encouraged to contact the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation at 1-800-522-8017, or you can go online through the agency's official website and submit a tip there. My thoughts are with the families at this time, and I truly hope that finding Molly and Colt can give them some sense of closure, as difficult as that may be. And if foul play was indeed involved, I hope for a speedy path to justice for Molly and justice for Colt. Paige Coffey. I first covered the story of Paige Coffey way back in 2021, and her story really stuck with me because first, there was such little evidence in her case that was made public. And second, her case hardly received any media attention at all. At least in my opinion, it received far less coverage than it should have because thirdly, her disappearance was wildly suspicious. I'd always check back in routinely wondering if there were any updates at all, and I was worried that even if there were updates, that it would not hit the media and we'd never know unless we spent the time to really, really dig in. Well, lo and behold, in April of 2026, almost 7 years since Paige went missing, Paige was found. Paige Coffey, age 27, disappeared in May of 2019 under suspicious circumstances after reportedly being seen shopping at a Home Depot in Cleveland with her boyfriend shortly before she vanished. Family members became concerned because they were unable to reach her. Now, of course, Paige is 27. She's an adult and can come and go as she pleases, but she was exceptionally close to her family members. In fact, at that time, she was living with her grandmother in Bracknell, a Cleveland suburb. The most alarming thing happened on Mother's Day when the whole day came and went and her mom never got a call from Paige. They knew at that moment something was very, very wrong, and they reported Paige as missing. Surveillance video was found of Paige shopping at that Home Depot with her boyfriend, and everything seemed normal. That would be the last time anyone could verify Paige's whereabouts. Now, her boyfriend, Patrick Mason Jr., had been an on-again, off-again boyfriend for quite some time. And at that time, he and Paige had just begun seeing each other again, something that her family wasn't exactly thrilled about. Now, what was his story at the time she vanished? I can't say for certain. He never spoke up publicly other than stating he had nothing to do with Paige's disappearance. Now, what I do know about Patrick is that in 2024, he went to prison on unrelated weapons charges. So he might not be the most stand-up guy, and he's actually still incarcerated. In April of 2026, investigators announced a major development when Paige's remains were discovered inside the garage of an abandoned home on East 142nd Street in Cleveland. At this time, a couple of people were tasked with the job of cleaning out the abandoned house. They found a black garbage bag in the garage, and when they opened it up, they were horrified at what they saw inside and called law enforcement right away. There were human remains found in the bag. They were skeletal, and it would take some advanced testing to identify who they belonged to. Now, I do want to mention this home is located in a residential neighborhood of Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know the history of the house, how long it was vacant, or who lived there prior, but we do know that Paige had been missing for 7 long years. Had she been inside that home the entire time? 12 days after the remains were discovered, on April 29th, they were identified through advanced DNA testing as belonging to Paige Coffey. Family was notified first, of course, followed by a press release to the media. There will be a detailed medical examination and investigation into her death. Now, there's been no cause or manner of death that has been officially released or announced by law enforcement, as both are still pending. Of course, all signs point to a homicide as being the manner of death, especially since her remains were found in a trash bag. But there have been no official statements as of yet, and we are still very early on. The only other alternative explanation would be death by natural causes, but someone went to the lengths to conceal her body. Now, some of you may remember, this was a key issue brought up in the Casey Anthony trial. At one point, the defense said that just because Casey's daughter, Kaylee, was found in a bag with duct tape, it doesn't mean she was murdered. It just means that someone put her there. Now, that case will forever haunt me. Law enforcement officials say the case is now being treated as an active investigation, and detectives are working to determine the circumstances surrounding Paige's disappearance and death, including who may be responsible. And while law enforcement hasn't explicitly stated such, news reports indicate that Patrick Mason Jr. is just one person they are investigating as a person of interest for this crime. And of course, he is currently incarcerated on other charges and has been since 2024. And that is a big if here still at this point. If he was involved, that would mean Paige might have been in that vacant home since at least 2024, since that's when he went to prison, possibly even since 2019 when she originally went missing. The question we still have to ask is, how did no one find her sooner? We are just days into this new development in the Page Coffee case, so hopefully there will be a lot more information in the coming weeks and months. For now, Page Coffee can be brought home and put to rest respectfully by her family and given the love and attention she deserves. And we will be watching very closely to see if one day we can get justice for Paige.
Anyone with any information regarding Paige's disappearance and or death are encouraged to contact the FBI Cleveland Field Office at 216-522-1400, or you can always remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers at 216-252-7463.
Sandra Crispo. Just days after learning the new developments in Paige's case, which I was still digesting, to be honest, as it was such a huge break, a listener reached out to me with news about another major breakthrough in a missing person case that I covered. First, a huge thank you to Lori for reaching out and sending me the media release. I covered the case of Sandra Crispo from Massachusetts back in November of 2024, and pretty quickly on, I realized this case might be far more controversial than I first realized. I would quickly receive emails and comments from different people, different family members in Sandra's life, all of them blaming other family members or other people they knew. It was truly bizarre, and it was frankly very sad. And tragically, this isn't the first missing person case I've covered in which this has happened. Now, one of these people might be onto something, and likely they are, but until we have more details, we just don't know for sure. And the victim in all of this is Sandra Crispo. Sandra Crispo's main goal in 2019 was to move closer to her grandchildren, something that she accomplished in those early summer months that year. Sandra moved to Hanson, Massachusetts, and would help care for her three grandchildren on days that her daughter, who was a registered nurse, needed childcare. Sandra was thrilled to have so much time with her three grandsons, and they were equally excited to spend days at grandma's. On August 7th, Sandra's son-in-law would help get her vehicle to a mechanic's shop to be worked on. On their way home from the shop, they stopped at a convenience store. Sandra is seen on surveillance camera going inside and purchasing cigarettes. And then later, her son-in-law dropped her off at home and left. The very next day, the mechanic shop tried to reach Sandra with no luck. They called her daughter, Lena, to follow up. And from there, Lena tried to call her mom on and off throughout the entire day, but there was never an answer. The following day, the day after that, August 9th, Sandra was planning on watching her grandsons that day. So when Lena arrived at the house to drop the boys off, she said that she immediately had an eerie feeling. The last couple days, she had not been able to reach her mom, which was unusual. And instead of letting her boys unbuckle their seatbelts and run inside as they normally would, she told them to wait in the car while she went inside first. She discovered that the back door was unlocked, and when she went inside the home, she noticed that all the lights were turned on, the air conditioner was cranked up, and Sandra's dog, who usually greeted any visitors excitedly with tail wags and jumping up and down, was cowering on a recliner in the living room. There was no food or water in the dog's bowls. Sandra was nowhere to be found, and pretty quickly, Lena knew it was time to call the authorities. Now, Sandra's case would pretty much go quiet in the media from here. It would be 7 years after her disappearance when we would have at least one major question answered in her case, and that is the question of where is Sandra? We now know. Sandra's remains were found by hunters in March of 2026. She was found in a wooded area near Route 3 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Plymouth, Massachusetts is about 15 miles or a 30-minute drive from Hanson, where Sandra was from. According to investigators, a hunter discovered what appeared to be human remains along a deer trail between exits 13 and 14 near the breakdown lane of the highway. Authorities later confirmed through DNA testing that those remains belonged to Sandra Crispo, who had been missing now for 7 years. The public was made aware of these findings in a press release on May 5th, 2026. There is no cause or manner of death yet. Those answers may come later after additional testing and investigations. But law enforcement has stated they do believe both her disappearance and her death are very suspicious in nature. Now, as I mentioned, there's a lot of finger pointing from friends and family here. There is talk of a financial benefit that some family members received from Sandra being gone. Is there some truth to this? Very possibly. Who else would have any motive to harm Sandra? Was there maybe someone else in her life that we don't know about yet? I'll definitely be keeping a close eye on this one. And since we just learned of these developments publicly a week or so ago, there is certainly a lot more information coming. Meanwhile, Sandra's three grandsons have had to grow up without their grandma in their lives, and now they have to deal with this heartbreaking news. Let's just hope that we are closer to having justice for Sandra.
Anyone with any information at all regarding Sandra Crispo, please contact the Hanson Police Department at 781-293-4625 or the Massachusetts State Police at 508-894-2600.
Now, those are the main updates I have for now in these cases. While I know there are other missing person cases that have likely been found in 2026, these specifically are cases that I've covered on the podcast previously. I also consider these very major updates because these people have been missing for so long. There's often updates coming in all the time on people who have been missing for days, weeks, even months. But these people we talked about today, Molly and Colt, Paige, Sandra, they have been missing for several years. Colt and Molly missing for almost 13 years. That's incredible that we have found them after all this time. And I am intrigued to know what the information was that led investigators to that area where they were searching that day. Paige and Sandra were both missing since 2019, both of them at the 7-year mark. Also huge that we have found these two women. Of course, it's so sad and heartbreaking that they have been found deceased when we were clinging to every little shred of hope we could. We have to. We always do. But the truth is, this was the main belief in all of their cases from the beginning. These were not people who would have voluntarily left their families and their friends. And now the families can bring them home, put them to rest respectfully, and not have to wonder any longer where their loved one is. Rest in peace, Molly, Colt, Paige, and Sandra. And to their families, we stand with you in the pursuit of justice in each of their cases. As I mentioned, there are some other missing person cases that I've covered, who have recently seen some arrests and will have some upcoming court trials. These are the cases of Angel Overstreet, Ella Mae Begay, Michael Monkey Vaughn, Shannon Collins, Charlotte Lester. And if you are aware of any other updates, please don't hesitate to reach out. I will be following all of these cases as best as I can and will try and update regularly over on the socials. Any major developments that come up, I'll include that in a podcast episode as well. And I want to mention, while all of these cases are seeing arrests, criminal charges, and court trials to some extent, Angel, Ella Mae, Monkey, and Shannon are still missing to this day as of the recording of this in May of 2026. Charlotte Lester's remains were discovered in 2024, and her alleged killer is incarcerated awaiting trial. Another case that I am keeping a close eye on. Let's hope that 2026 continues to bring forth answers, justice, and maybe some good news in at least some missing person cases. Of course, if you have made it this far and would like to help our podcast reach more people, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And a huge thank you to those who have done so already. It really, truly does help these missing person stories get the exposure they deserve. If you are interested in all of our episodes completely ad-free, you can join us over on Patreon. Not only will you find all of our episodes ad-free over there, you can also find occasional bonus episodes as well. Our next bonus episode coming up will cover the story of a young woman missing from the Navajo Nation in New Mexico, and will be up over on Patreon in the next couple of days. The link can be found in the show notes. And I do want to give a big thank you and a huge welcome to our newest patron, Julie. Julie, thank you so much for supporting our show and supporting our mission. If we do have any case updates or news on any missing person cases, we will share that over on our socials first. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And you can also find our episodes in video format over on YouTube. This is a great way where we can share more photos of the missing person and any other relevant pictures, such as evidence photos, maps, etc. The link will be in the show notes, or you can always just search for the Where Are They podcast. If you have any case suggestions for me, please reach out anytime. You can do so over on the socials or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening to these case updates today. We continue to fight for justice in the cases of Colt Haynes, Molly Miller, Paige Coffey, and Sandra Crispo. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.